You're listening to Up Your Game, a weekly show designed to turn dreams into goals and goals into reality. Here's your host, entrepreneur and content creator, De Niro B.
What's going on, Game Changers? De Niro B here with another episode of Up Your Game. Now, before we dive into the content and we're going to start dropping some value bombs, wanted to ask you to please subscribe to this podcast. If you haven't done that already, it helps me and it helps you stay on top of all the new episodes that we release every single week. Also, if you haven't, please share this podcast with your friends. It's important because if you're on the rise, you want your friends to be on the same page as you are. You don't want them to slow you down, but most importantly, you want to help your circle grow with you. All right, so let's get started.
What is going on, Game Changers? De Niro B here with another episode of Up Your Game. Today, I'm here with Sean Callagy. He's one of America's top trial attorneys, huge philanthropist, very, very successful entrepreneur, online personality, creator of various peak performance technologies, and he's a legally blind adventurer. He's the co-founder of Unblinded, a cutting-edge sales program with amazing reviews and testimonials. He's the host of the Unblinded Vision podcast, where he helps you crush fears, lies, and limiting beliefs to discover your true self in order to unleash more money, time, and every other thing in your life. Now, I can't wait to get this interview started, so let's welcome together Sean Callagy. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing great, De Niro. Thank you so much for having me, and I really appreciate the audience for investing their time and energy here. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure there's a massive value exchange. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, first off, again, I wanted to thank you for being here today. You have such a busy life. I was reading about you. I checked you out online. So I wanted to start somewhere from the roots. So before you became a lawyer, before you started your career, can you tell us a bit more about your early life and your upbringing?
Yeah, no, thank you for that question. I know you're in Rome, Italy right now, and I was raised by an Italian grandmother.
Oh, no way. Awesome.
In addition to my parents. And I'm sitting, actually, yeah, Lancelotti was the family maiden name.
Lancelotti is.
Yeah, and so I'm literally about 200 meters from my grandparents' house on Long Beach Island, New Jersey, and neither one of them graduated from college or high school, for that matter. And they created this amazing family structure with like virtually no resources. They never made more than $25,000 a year, took massive, massive amounts of sacrifices to get five of their children, including my mom, through private Catholic grammar school. And they taught us just immense value structure around giving and people. And you know, they also taught us one more thing besides the importance of family, and that's accessing non-traditional educational formats. My grandmother passed away 2 years ago, and lying in the house that is literally through those windows, there's the bay behind me, the ocean over there, just 200 yards away on her nightstand to this day, and it was there when she was in her 90s, was a book by Norman Vincent Peale, and books in the bookshelves by Napoleon Hill and others. So I was raised in an environment that taught non-traditional education, like what you're doing for your listeners, and that was an incredibly important part of my life from my earliest childhood. And that's where it began. And it continued from there. But should I keep going or I want to check you in?
100%. No, this is super interesting. Yeah. So like non-formal education. Go ahead.
Yeah. So from there, I was a high school athlete. So I'm legally blind now. I lost my vision to retinitis pigmentosa, the same condition my grandfather, that woman's husband, his name was Pop, and Nani, yeah, who we just talked about, had. And so, but I was a really strong athlete growing up. I was a three-sport high school athlete, baseball, wrestling, and football, at a very successful high school, had great mentors and coaches. And I went on to Columbia University, where I was the baseball captain, and I had hoped, I was going to be playing professional baseball. I was told by two different scouts that I was going to be getting drafted. And then I first began to have my challenge to my eyesight at that point. And so in 1992, on June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, I sat by a telephone hoping the phone would ring, but knowing it wouldn't, because right before the Major League Baseball draft that year, they had told me, they said, listen, we love you, your work ethic, everything about you, but it's just not going to happen because your eyesight. So I had to deal with that. But what athletics gave me was a framework to this concept. The idea that people could separate themselves, not in a small way, but a dramatic way, from what other people accomplished. Because I didn't start varsity baseball as a sophomore in high school. And yet as a junior, I got 100 Division I offers. And it was micro distinctions in my psychology and my workout regimens that created that access. And then I went to law school. And in law school, it was a similar situation. I learned that you can create massive separation with small distinctions, because I hadn't been, you know, I did go to an Ivy League undergrad, great school. But at that Ivy League undergrad, I didn't party, but I worked like crazy in the gym. And I didn't learn how to study. I was a B student in college, and now I'm going to law school competing with a lot of straight A students, and it was a forced curve to compete for jobs. So I had to learn again what I will now call modeling. We know that language as personal development folk, but I learned to model through athletics and law school, and it blew my mind what was possible. So I came out of law school with my dream job, but I would soon learn that it really wasn't. So that's kind of my quick backstory.
It's interesting. So basically, you're basically telling me right now that your experience in sports was actually what got you to work hard to become good at studying after? Is that what you're telling me right now?
Yeah, it really did. It began to, what very specifically, I will use the language I use now to describe it. It was intuitive at that point, but I would call it modeling. So athletically, started lifting weights, and people didn't lift weights in the late 1980s for baseball. In fact, people said not to, but then I was looking at certain major league baseball players and they were gigantic. So I started hitting the weight room hard. I also started modeling concepts in sports psychology, doing imagery and visualization exercises that changed my approach mentally and emotionally and had extraordinary results. And then by the way, when I didn't do it, my results dropped dramatically. And so I wish I had learned a little bit earlier about print concepts of consistency, because in that time I had some ups and downs, and at the, you know, my peak, I had a great athletic career, but at the highest level I had some ups and downs, and those downs were the byproduct of not following that model. But then I carried that model into law school, and the model was very simply this: when other people have done something successfully, we can learn from them and just do what they did.
Okay. Sure.
And so I didn't try to change the formula when I got to law school. I just went to the best students. I said, how did you study and how did you get A's? They told me, and I'm like, okay, I did exactly what they did, and I got phenomenal grades. And I'm like, this is easy. Why doesn't everybody do this? And so that's what I came out of you know, my athletic career and then law school with.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Listen, I wanted to talk about your career in law, actually. So you kind of answered my question before I asked, like, did you think you were going to stick when you started? You said that it was your dream job. So do you think you were going to stick to it forever? Or did you already have an idea that you were going to, you know, branch out into other ventures like entrepreneurship and what you're doing now when you started?
So, fantastic question there. Thank you. No, I'll say it this way. I went to law school because I didn't know what else to do with my life. And I was heartbroken over the idea that I was going to go blind and couldn't be a professional baseball player. So I went to law school because I just didn't know what else to do. I didn't have a passion to be an attorney. I had a passion for people though and teaching. I loved coaching. When I was in law school, I coached kids and youth football from my town who were 13 and 14 year olds. It was very fulfilling. I went back and worked with my high school a bunch. So I loved teaching. And I went to law school knowing I was going to be blind so I could have an income level that would prepare me for what would eventually come. Once I became an attorney, I discovered that most people weren't happy at all. And I consider it, I don't want this to be my life. So what I thought was my dream job, I realized really quickly that nobody was going to come to rescue me. And if I wanted freedom, the people I saw, De Niro had freedom, right? Were the people who had the ability to sell and influence. And the problem was, this is now 1997, I couldn't think of anything more disgusting to me than selling or influencing. I didn't understand what it truly meant. So I started to look into some things. I found the work of Tony Robbins and Napoleon Hill and others. And what it demonstrated to me was, yeah, like selling and influencing can be, in fact, a highly integrity-filled process. And I decided to literally quit my job at the ripe old age of 27, 6 months in, 6 months in, $100,000 in debt, knowing I would eventually go legally blind, to see as a personal development experiment if I could create my own law firm. Wow. And that's literally what I did as an experiment.
27 years old, took the sleep. And this is not like you said in the 90s, right? I mean, like right now people, you know, like in 2020, people kind of at 27, they may still be partying or something, but to be a lawyer at 27 years old in the 90s and making this type of choice, must have been like something really like came in from deep down. Like, were you feeling somewhat unfulfilled? That's why this happened? Because a lot of the listeners that I have on my podcast today are the type of people that will maybe stick to a job for 3, 4, 5 years, 6 years before they make up their mind and start their own business or start another venture. So to those types of people, what would you say to them if they already feel that way, but they feel like they may not be ready to pull the plug?
Yeah. So with all my heart, and this is why I live my mission today. So I would tell, you know, all you fine folks out there listening, that the number one most attainable skill set for you is the ability to, with integrity, influence mm-hmm. other people to go from hello to yes. So number one, I would develop and acquire that skill set. Number two, once you have that skill set, you can do whatever it is that you want. I had no idea. We don't learn that in the traditional educational system. And at 27, as I said, I created that firm. I have not before or since. It became a 40-person law firm within 2 years. I am, with humility, sitting in the beach house I bought at 29. When I 2 years before that, I was on the verge. I was broke, $100,000 in debt with no hope of going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe what happened in 2 years because I followed, not only followed my heart, but I realized the skill set that was necessary to take me there. And what it left me with, De Niro, was, and everybody out there, it left me with this heaviness in my heart that most people didn't know this. We aren't taught this. And I was like, why is this? I went to an Ivy League undergraduate and I went to law school and graduated with honors. And I couldn't believe that nobody ever told me this. It was remarkable.
Very interesting. So I want to ask you a question. So you quit 27 years old, 29, you bought this beautiful house you're in right now. So tell me about these 2 years. How did you find out exactly what you wanted to do after? Because at a certain point, I'm sure that you had to, you know, find out within you what it was that you wanted to do and how did you achieve it?
Yeah. So I would say when I went to law school and graduated, it was all to me about getting a job and working somewhere. You know, I didn't have entrepreneurship in my family or my background. So I was going to go work for somebody and get a paycheck. I didn't understand anything about the business world. So by the time I quit my job, at that moment when I was reading the work of Tony Robbins, Napoleon Hill, Dale Carnegie, Og Mandino, I had already realized that I wanted to teach and share this, but first I wanted to see if it actually worked. So during that 2 year period, I was testing the concepts I was learning from these people. Jay Abraham became an extraordinary access point for me. And in fact, which is incredible, I've had the incredibly beautiful opportunity to speak with Jay many times. Jay's been on stage at my events. It's incredible. And it was like I sat there with this guy that was a part of changing my life. And so what I wanted to do for others, as that was in that 2 year period, I was literally using what I was learning. Because I felt a lot of folks, you know, you have a beautiful success backstory and I'm so inspired by what you've done in the world. I think a lot of folks that get into the space or trying to help others really haven't done it themselves. You have, others have, I did. And as I did it, or before I did it, I wanted to make sure I had that credibility so I could teach people not only from what I had learned in books, but also from what I had done and accomplished. So yeah, during that 2 year period from 1997 to 99, as these things were occurring, it was incredibly important to me to test these things out. And I was literally building a formula, reproducible formula, to teach people. And that's what that time frame was about for me. And then once I got to that space of, you know, stability, of financial, I wouldn't say complete financial freedom, but certainly a beautiful level of financial freedom, not absolute, but real, a couple homes and, you know, feeling great about where I was. Then I start to move into how do I exit from my first law firm? Cause I did sell that law firm and move into this training and teaching others.
This episode is brought to you by Phoenix Planner at phoenixplanner.com. I've been using the Phoenix Planner for 3 months now, and as soon as I started using it, I dropped every other productivity tool I was using. The Phoenix Planner lets me set my 3 to 5 year goal, then it breaks that down into a yearly one. Now, once the big picture is complete, it makes you set 4 quarterly goals, and that's when the real planning starts. Phoenix Planner allows you to schedule weekly, daily, and monthly tasks. It has a monitoring system for tracking your habits, and it works as a journal too. On the daily pages, you can write down your focus and what you're grateful for. Now, remember that gratitude is the key to keeping yourself grounded and in control every day. There are also slots for rating your performance and giving yourself feedback. In a nutshell, the Phoenix Planner is the ultimate planner if you want to take your life and business to the next level. Visit phoenixplanner.com to get 20% off your order. Apply the code PHOENIXDEN at checkout, that is PHOENIXDEN, for 20% off your order. And now, let's get back to the episode.
Awesome. Very, very cool. Listen, I wanted to talk about sales. I checked out the Unwinded website, and I need to dive in a bit deeper because, I love it. I actually have a small group on Facebook where I teach people how to sell and how to close deals. So when did you start, and what made you start it? What was the pain in the market that you were trying to solve? I read that you, of course, have read other, or like you've seen other sales techniques, and some of them are deceiving. So can you tell me more about Unwinded and why it is different and how you came up with it?
Sure. So I went to, and I won't name names, but I was in a seminar in the late 90s, and I met some people who had been to this seminar and were really excited and thought so highly of the work and the program. And I was like, that's great. Like, how you doing? And I'm sorry. And they said to me, oh yeah, I've been here. It's like my 12th time. I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, how are you doing? I'm like, well, we're still trying to figure it out. I remember in that moment saying, this is crazy. Crazy. Like, how are these people? Like, it's not right. Something's broken. And I'm like, I'm getting the results that I want, that I'm seeking, and so many other people aren't. And I'm going to figure out why. So I sat back and started to construct a program to replicate from what I was doing and teaching the people that work for me to help in the world. And it eventually led to what I call my Calogy now unblinded results formula that has 3 components. I won't dive too deeply in, but it's 3 components. And the center component is your influence mastery, because without our ability, with humility, but with absolute certainty, I say this, the great differentiator amongst people, Oprah Winfrey, Muhammad Ali, he was an athlete, his influencing outside the ring, Tony Robbins, JFK, Martin Luther King, Gandhi, Mother Teresa, these were people with extraordinary and exponentially higher levels of the ability to influence others. And I wanted to replicate that. I believed in modeling from athletics, law school, etc. And I'm like, I want to create the model of the ultimate formula for people to influence other people by with integrity. And what I found in the traditional sales dynamics and techniques, they were very driven by push energy, by force energy. And I was very, the people I was modeling and learning from in the beginning, it wasn't about that. I studied NLP at depth, but NLP, but what I found, my challenge, and I believe in NLP, but my challenge with NLP was it still wasn't formalized. So you hear words like matching and mirroring, but like there's so much more. Like, so if I just match and mirror you, what does the conversational construct look like from beginning to end? And if I hear create emotional rapport, fantastic. How? And like, and is it just technique driven or something more? So these are the questions I began to answer myself and ask of myself and answer. And in about 4 years, starting in this late 90s period up to 03, I created an entire program and curriculum. And I've been teaching, I've been using that curriculum for 23 years. I've been teaching that curriculum for about 17 years now.
Wow. So do you do webinar or seminars like in person? Can you tell us if who can go to your seminars? Is it online so that like if my listeners are interested in checking it out, they can do it?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So if somebody's interested in the work that we're doing, and I love co-creating, and I am clear that there could be co-creation magic here with you and for other folks out there. I believe in that massively. Like 1 + 1 equals a lot more than 2. In fact, I say our tagline is influencers influencing influencers to merge ecosystems for 1 + 1 equals a trillion relationships, or at least 1 in 10, to make the world an even greater place. So if people are interested in what we're up to, the best place to start is unblindedhuddle.com. In fact, please go there right now, unblindedhuddle.com. That's UNBLINDED, like unblinded, huddle, one word, .com. And we do this every day, De Niro, and everybody out there.
Yeah.
At 8:30 a.m. Eastern time, we are there. And if you give us 5 mornings, at the end of those 5 mornings, you don't see it, and that's where we are. But we also do live events. We're obviously on hold. We did an event in January. We had 1,600 people there in New Jersey from all over the country and the world. And we're working hard at it. So I'm really excited about supporting people in the same way you are in seeing what they don't see about their ability to accelerate.
It's super, super cool. Listen, I interview top performers all the time, and I always like to ask non-obvious questions. So Sean, I'm curious to know how you organize your free time. I even told you before the beginning of the episode today, because people see top performers as just machines, and sometimes you got to put a bit of context around it. You were telling me, or during the present, when I was introducing you, I was saying that you're an adventurer, so I was going to ask you what type of activities do you do and how do you organize your super busy schedule with your free time, your family time, and everything else?
Yeah, well, thank you. So first, let me, if I could confront the machine part. I felt like quitting what I'm doing probably within the last week. When I built my law firm, I felt like quitting every day.
Yeah.
So those thoughts, I don't think ever go away, least for me. So, but I know now that my thoughts are just like my nervous system lying to me. So that, why should I even do this? I have enough resources and money to just like do the things I love doing, but they're just lies. So I face that every single day. Frustrations, challenges, disappointments, upset, pulls, and it never ends. And if we reassociate to it, though, as a part of the journey, and there's times it's not easy to reassociate. There's times I'm like, mother effer, like, what is this happening? Like, you know, you get disappointed and frustrated. So I want to make it, it's all real. And you never become robotic. You never become immune to it. You know, at least I haven't. I hope maybe I can aspire to that, but I certainly haven't. Yeah. So that's one piece. Yes. And I mean it. Every day in 1997, after I quit my job at the law firm and started my own firm, I wanted to quit every day, probably 3 times a day. I was so petrified of failing. So that was there. In terms of family, you know, I have a unique time in my life. I built my law firm with my children as my greatest priority in the world. I wanted to be a business owner, not operator. So I took entire summers off and was there for everything for my kids. I coached their soccer teams, baseball teams, every single team imaginable. My children are now 20, 18, and 16. So they have retired me for my favorite job, which was being their like coach and, you know, being out doing that, right? They're busy. You know? So, I mean, we still do a lot together, but they have things they prefer to do than spend time together. So when that happened is when I launched into Unblinded and this acceleration, which I knew I would do at the next like gear, because I didn't want to travel during their childhood. And I didn't. But what we did do together, and we do together, all 3 of my children and I are certified scuba divers. We've gone scuba diving with 100 sharks at one time. We have beautiful ski adventures all over the world together. And I am blind. I can't see your face. I don't know what you look like. Right? So we ski double black diamonds. I ski moguls by feel. You know, my son and daughters guide me through our audio headsets of left, right. We have videos online doing that. You can Google Sean Calgi ski video and see what it looks like.
For sure.
Gone running with the bulls, also love surfing. So there's surf beach right here. In fact, was were blessed and privileged to be at a Tony Robbins birthday party in late February and took a day to go surfing in the beaches right outside Los Angeles and Venice. So I love the ocean. I love the mountains. I love challenges in a big way. And that's part of, and I don't talk about it. Like, I'm blind. You know, like,
yeah.
And the story is that I'm blind and it's not the story. So I'm on the Board of Trustees, the American Foundation for the Blind. And, you know, just a quick public service announcement on that, you know, I'm here representing the idea that blind people can be so effective and powerful that you forget they're actually blind. And people all the time come up to me in organizations that I'm involved in. They're like, oh yeah, I forgot you're blind. And like that is a sort of great pride. And it's something that I encourage blind folks to hope to achieve, is to become so, step into their greatness at such a high level that they're able to have people forget they're blind too. So yeah, it's a little bit about what I'm up to in my private time.
Wow, amazing. Super, super, super interesting and motivational too. Listen, I had a couple of questions regarding how you manage. So like, you got your podcast, then you got your training business, and then you're also like a lawyer. Is it a full-time attorney, or you're doing part-time right now with your firm?
No, yeah, no. The law firm I own is 125 employees I have. I'm a sole equity holder. So I have offices in 5 states. Yeah, and I have beautiful people that work with me in partnerships and silos of it. But it's the formula that we teach in Unblind. That's how we built it. So yeah, yes, I am full-time CEO of a law firm. And I had 2 of my top 100 national jury verdicts just a few years ago. I don't actively, I more manage and lead and speak inside the firm as opposed to day-to-day practicing. But I have an amazing team of people that, you know, serve the day-to-day legal needs of our clients.
Amazing. Amazing. Listen, I wanted to talk about your future projects. What are you currently working on? What can people expect from Sean in the next couple of months, years? Is there anything down the pipe that you want to share with us?
Yeah. So, you know, a bunch of things. So first, I look at Unblinded. Our mission outcome is to have it become, create amazing partnerships. So what it's not going to look like is me speaking in front of 100,000 people. Mm-hmm. What our dream is to have 100,000 people speaking in front of a group of 1,000 people. That's okay. The mission of Unblinded, right? Is to prepare people to succeed at leading others. And right now, again, rooting in the concept of integrity-based influence. We have the huddles. We have face. I'd love to have you on as a huddle guest. You can answer me now.
For sure. Yes.
Yeah. We're also doing something we think is going to be really fun. A lot of people claim to have the ability to influence and to teach influence, meaning going from hello to yes. We're going to make a sport of it, and we're going to create a show that, I mean, like, we're creating it, like launching it next week, where people are going to compete to influence off against one another, like an American Idol of influence. Yeah. You know, and so we think it's going to be incredibly fun, incredibly interesting and dynamic. And we're looking to really focus on how important people's influencing skill sets are and how unaware we actually are of what those skill sets are and look like. So that's what we're up to in the world, and looking to partner with people everywhere to make that a reality.
That's super, super cool. I'm definitely want to be part of it. Let me know. We'll keep in touch anyway, for sure.
I love it.
Listen, Sean, we're going to wrap up. Before we do, can you please tell us where our listeners can find you online?
Yes. So again, unblindedhuddle.com would be the best place. Also, the Unblinded Facebook page would be fantastic. So unblindedhuddle.com, Unblinded Facebook page. And then if anybody has a legal challenge or concern, you could find us at callagylaw.com. My email is scallagy, last name, C-A-L-L-A-G-Y, at callagylaw.com, C-A-L-L-A-G-Y-L-A-W.com.
Perfect. Sean, thank you so much for being in the show today. I can't wait to have you back in the next few months so that we can talk about your new show that's going to be launching soon as well. So again, thank you so much, and we'll talk soon.
And DR, thank you for everything you're up to in the world, and thank you everybody for today. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And this is it for today, Game Changers. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to the podcast and you will be the very first person to know when we release new episodes. Also, do not forget to leave a review. It literally takes a minute. It makes my day brighter. And if you send me a screenshot for a limited time on Instagram or by email, you will get a free 15-minute coaching call worth $50. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in the next episode.